Hello, and welcome to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM and WKRM Radio, your hometown news broadcasting from the Debbie Matthews Nashville Realty Newsroom in Columbia, Tennessee. I'm your host, Tom Price. Today is Thursday, March 14th, and we start with local news. The city of Columbia has released the official termination letter for Columbia Fire Chief Ty Cobb, which was made effective at 11 a.m. on Tuesday. The March 12th termination letter, which was signed and submitted by City Manager Tony Massey, references Cobb's recent 30-day suspension starting October 30th, which also included a year of probation. The reason for the previous suspension, as stated in the letter, was due to, quote, insubordinate behavior. However, during that probationary period, Massey states in the letter that Cobb participated in a continuation of such insubordinate behavior. Since that time, a concerned citizen has presented to the city numerous text messages from you evidencing a continuation of such insubordinate behavior, as well as an effort by you to undermine and impede the successful operation of the City of Columbia, the March 12th letter says. The letter goes on to list examples of text messages shared by the citizen, who is not named, which include a message calling another city employee, quote, dumbass, a message falsely accusing the chief of police of being involved in an attempted break-in at the apartment of the person who sent the text, and a message offering to pay for favorable news stories, which would benefit Cobb's interest. Such unacceptable activities, which have occurred while you are on probation, cannot and will not be tolerated, especially not from a department head of the City of Columbia, the letter says. Massey could not be reached for comment, nor has there been any information regarding an interim fire chief following Cobb's termination. Maury County's Safety and Administration Committees each fielded questions during respective March meetings regarding safety concerns on John Sharp Road in Spring Hill. In that regard, several members of the public referenced a 200-plus unit development recently advanced by the Regional Planning Commission, or RPC. I'm not anti-growth. What I am is I'm anti-unsafe and unsustainable growth, said nearby resident Chris Kramer. What we're looking at now is 500 or more cars on a daily basis traveling on John Sharp Road, which is not set up for that, he said. William Gruber added that many residents believe the access of first responders had not been sufficiently addressed by the Planning Commission, as well as the impact of a future high school nearby. We're going to have young drivers along this road and no safety measures, Gruber said. District 10 Commissioner Tommy Wolliver asked Van Boschiers, the road superintendent, if the road was safe, based on county standards. The standard of road, if we build one, is 30 feet with 24 feet of pavement and 3-foot shoulder, Boschiers said. That road is not that way. It's a tar and chip from Old 99 all the way into Oak Lake, he said. Cindy Hesla of District 6 noted she had received multiple phone calls from constituents regarding this matter. Hesla noted the county's subdivision regulations and standards for road construction. If everyone is in compliance with these resolutions, why do we have citizens out here who are afraid for their safety? Why is a subdivision going up on a road that seems substandard according to these regulations? Hesla asked. A number of commissioners and County Mayor Sheila Butt asked Superintendent of Roads Van Boschiers if his office advised the Planning Commission on whether road infrastructure was adequate prior to approving the project. I've never had any of that, Boschiers said in response. Hesla quoted from the county subdivision regulation saying, where an existing publicly maintained road is inadequate, the Planning Commission can require assurances for the necessary upgrading as a condition of approval of the development project. Hesla further stated that per regulations, roads could be deemed inadequate by either the Planning Commission or the Highway Department. Several members of the public also stated they had trouble reaching the members of the RPC to address their concerns prior to meetings. One member of the public told the admin committee later that evening she had been told by planning and zoning department officials that the contact information for members of the RPC could not be made available to the public because RPC members were not elected officials. During the admin committee meeting, Commissioner Gabe Howard asked for a moratorium on subdivision development in Murray County while the subdivision regulations are being rewritten. I think the people of Murray County are trying to show up and have a voice, but they're being strapped with handcuffs in that the Regional Planning Commission members are being told if it fits X, Y, and Z, you cannot vote no on it, Howard said. Howard noted that in discussions with Planning Commission members, some of them had endorsed such a building moratorium as a temporary measure. Commissioner Gwen Evans, who has served on the RPC for 14 years, noted he was not at the most recent RPC meeting and would have opposed the development. However, he said not approving an item that fits the zoning requirements would almost certainly land the county in court. It would have failed 4-4, and the county would have been sued, spending tens of thousands of dollars. We've never won when we've been sued when we've gone against what it says here, Evans said. The Planning Commission has to do what the County Commission passes. If you want a moratorium to stick, you're going to have to change the regulations. Evans also cited what he called deficiencies in the county's current land use plan and noted that changes had been rejected by the County Commission. Mayor Butt stated that it would be impossible to stop projects already approved without landing the county in legal difficulties. Anybody who has already begun the process under the old regs, there's nothing we can do about that. They would sue us in a minute, she said. Butt said the moratorium required a good reason, adding that she had talked to two other county mayors who had tried moratoriums in their counties but had failed. The mayors have said that this is not a good move because of people who will not be building, there will be lawsuits. Everyone I have talked to says get the rewrite done as soon as possible, she said. Mayor Butt added that she believed much of the rewrite of the zoning regulations was complete and that the County Commission could see a final version in late summer. Commissioner Ray Jeter said he agreed with the concerns raised by commissioners and the public, but that a moratorium would be a mistake because of what he called unintended consequences, such as the effects on construction workers. I cannot get behind this because of what it will do to the hardworking men and women of this county, Jeter said. I think there are other avenues to fix this problem. County Attorney Daniel Murphy gave his opinion that a building moratorium would likely fail. Individuals have rights in their property, he said. That's what the courts protect, is individual property rights. When people don't like what's going on beside them, I get it. While it may sound good, you would have to have a very limited moratorium, Murphy said. Site plans for a Comfort Inn located off Kedron Parkway moved forward this week, though not without its share of concerns. The approximate 28,300-square-foot Comfort Inn, newly rebranded from the formerly proposed Sleep Inn Hotel, will include 50 rooms and 61 parking spaces. One of the concerns, specifically by nearby residents and citizens, was that the plans show an increase in the room capacity, which was originally just 37. Another was the expanding square footage, which had been 22,000 square feet when presented in February. The parking spaces also decreased from 72 to 61. We will have three hotels here now, all within walking distance of about 600 to 700 residents, Christy Smith, a Split Rail Lane resident, said. If this is supposed to be part of our downtown area, which includes Old Town, I hope that in moving forward, we can get some staff to address the holes in the Unified Development Code so we can develop our downtown so people can live here that live here can walk. I live next door, and it's hard for me to walk anywhere. And now we've got two new daycares and three hotels. What are they going to offer me as a resident to walk, live, work, and play? Not a lot right now, she said. The Comfort Inn site plan request was reviewed by the Spring Hill Planning Commission on Monday, where the board was presented with three options, which were to deny the request, defer it until April, or approve it with a list of conditions. The hotel will also require a review by the city's Board of Zoning Appeals, particularly for the decreased parking spaces. We want to elevate this to a Comfort Inn, and in doing so, we want to meet a certain room threshold, which is 50 rooms. In order to get 50 rooms, we had to decrease parking spaces, Nathan McVeigh of applicant T-Square Engineered said. We are asking to stay in the planning queue for now, and that the approval is also contingent on receiving that Board of Zoning Appeals parking variance, he said. Commissioner Jonathan Duda said he was uncertain if approving the request prior to BZA review would be in the city's best interest. He requested that, if approved, the Comfort Inn would be required to meet with the BZA in April. If not, it would need to come back before the Planning Commission. Alderman Matt Fitterer ultimately motioned to approve the request, along with the BZA condition, which Duda seconded. The item was approved unanimously. Navy outreach and diversity leaders visited Columbia Central High School on February 29th to showcase the Nimitz, a mobile state-of-the-art virtual reality experience that simulates a high-speed Navy SEAL mission. The Nimitz allows participants to navigate the mission using a cutting-edge steering wheel and throttle system, which replicates the sensation of piloting a high-speed Special Warfare Combat Crewman, or SWCC, boat while extracting SEALs. Prior to the virtual experience, participants went through a video briefing before strapping on a headset and a piece of wearable technology that percusses in real time to sounds of the mission. Upon completion, participants moved on to the debriefing station, where they received feedback and a performance grade. "We are extremely excited to spend time at Columbia Central School, meeting with exceptional students and faculty, and discussing the great opportunities available in today's Navy," said Commander Dominique Jackson, commander of the Navy and Diversity Outreach Program in Millington, Tennessee. "Every year, potential recruits from coast to coast attend Navy events, wanting to learn what the Navy is about. Some of the questions we hear most often are, what is it like to serve in the Navy? Or, what sort of things will I be doing if I join the Navy? So we wanted to show, not just talk about, the Navy experience to potential recruits. We showcase the Nimitz at Columbia Central High School because we are seeking high-caliber recruits who are interested in STEM careers and who want to be on the cutting edge of innovation," Commander Jackson added. Navy leaders also shared information about its $180,000 ROTC scholarship program, which pays full college tuition for students with exceptional academic and leadership credentials. To learn more about opportunities offered by the U.S. Navy, visit www.navy.com. A proposal to turn over operations of Murray County's juvenile detention facility to a different outside contractor was heard by commissioners and received preliminary approval during a March meeting of the Safety Committee. The Middle Tennessee Detention Center, located on Lawson White Drive in Columbia, has been operated by a private entity since 1996 on land owned by Murray County. The center and county entered into a 20-year lease in 1996 and renewed that lease in 2016 for another 20 years. Matt Sexton, an attorney for the center's operators, spoke to commissioners on the request. "Simply put, my client wishes to exit operating responsibilities. There's a better operator in the state, Wayne Halfway House. They do a great job and wish to restructure the operating agreement whereby Wayne Halfway would take over operating responsibilities at the center," he said. Wayne Halfway House currently operates facilities in Waynesboro, Dandridge, and Nashville, according to its website. Changing the agreement will require the consent of the county commission. Commissioner Eric Previti asked about the job status of current employees at the juvenile center and was told, "The intention is that the present staff will remain the same, but we anticipate adding new employees as well." Previti also asked about other agreements, such as one with the Murray County Sheriff's Department to provide meals. Sexton replied that various agreements might need to be renegotiated, but that those were not part of reassigning the overall lease. County Attorney Daniel Murphy said he saw no issues with the request, which now goes before the Budget Committee. Murray County's Building Committee voted against purchasing and demolishing Columbia's one-stop bookshop located at 1113 South Main Street, which would have served as additional parking spaces for the new Judicial Center. The proposal, which took place during the committee's March 4th meeting, was rejected by a 5-1 vote. Commissioners who voted against the motion were Commissioners Ray Jeter, Connie Green, Brandon Nutt, Kathy Grody, and Chairman Gabe Howard. Kevin Markham, who represents District 9, was the only yes vote. The building, which would cost upwards of $1 million to be demolished and torn down, would allow for 39 additional parking spaces. Jamie Spencer of Hewlett Spencer, the design build company tasked with constructing the Judicial Center, said that there are currently 173 spaces, above what is required by code. "We are required to have 165 parking spaces," Spencer said. We are delivering to you 173 parking spaces, so we are above what is required by code, and we have an approval on that parking number from the City of Columbia. 88 are designated for staff, and 85 designated to the public, he said. County Commission Chairman Eric Previti, who first brought the idea to the committee 1 year ago, said the commission was made the offer of $950,000, with payments being split over 2 years. I had a phone conversation with a realtor the other day, Previti said. She said the seller would have to pay the commission fee, but she would work with him to try to get that number down. That's not a hard number right now, he said. Commissioner Grodi of District 6 said she's against the idea, citing a potential raise in property taxes to cover the cost. I do not feel like I could look anybody in the eye and raise their property taxes to buy a bookstore that we're going to demolish, she said. The things I would like to look a constituent in the eye over, if I had to raise their property taxes, is something that I believe in, and that would be fixing their roads and giving them a school, she said. Others were in favor of tearing down the building, including attorney Jason Watley, who raised the issue of aesthetics and the perception it would give the county. We're making a generational decision, Watley said, because we've invested the people's money and for the long term, and it sort of represents our community. Being conservative does not mean being cheap. I would say here, to be a true conservative, you have to look at the long-term investment. The long-term investment of this particular land, which in so many ways this building represents not only the way it functions, but the way it looks and the way it presents, he said. Commissioner Jeter of District 8 cited the market value of the building as his reason to vote no. It's a hard pill to swallow when you can pull up, aside from me doing an appraisal on this building, you could pull up the market value of this building right now at $468,000, Jeter said. I can't in good conscience spend more than $500,000 on this building for the sole purpose of tearing it down and making it parking spaces, he said. Committee Chairman Gabe Howard said he's received more calls from constituents regarding the issue than he has on almost anything on the commission. Overwhelmingly, the constituents in my district did reach out were very specifically asking me to vote no on this. For that reason, and that reason only, I will not be supporting this motion going forward, he said. And now your hometown memorials, sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Mrs. Barbara King Norton, 86, a resident of Orange Park, Florida, died Wednesday, March 6th at her residence. Funeral services for Mrs. Norton will be conducted on Saturday, March 16th at 10 a.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Burial will follow in Rose Hill Cemetery. The family will visit with friends on Friday, March 15th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Carol Armstrong, 77, passed away on Monday, March 11th. A celebration of life service will be held at First Baptist Church of Columbia on Saturday, March 16th at 4 p.m. Family will visit with friends prior to the service from 2 to 4 p.m. Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. Online condolences may be extended at www.oaksandnichols.com. Carolyn Edwards Stacy, 94, a lifelong resident of Columbia, died Tuesday, March 12th at Life Care Center of Columbia. Funeral services will be conducted on Sunday, March 17th at 3 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Entombment will follow at Polk Memorial Gardens Mausoleum. The family will visit with friends on Sunday from 12 p.m. until 3 p.m. at the funeral home. Hometown Memorials is sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home, serving with dignity and consideration for over 150 years.
As years go by, people may tend to forget just what a funeral is really all about. At Oaks and Nichols, we believe it's first and always a special remembrance of someone you love. We start by listening to your needs and desires. If you're unsure, we can help, gently, professionally. At Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, we haven't lost sight of why we're here, to serve Maury County families in the ways they prefer, and why the way you feel has always been so important to Susie and Tony Sowell.
When people come here, I hope they feel like they're working with a person who's just like family. And by the time they leave here, I hope they feel like they're a part of our family.
What I like most is when a family is leaving, they can say thanks. You made something we thought would be hard easier than we thought it would be. Not that we made it easy, we made it easier.
Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, 320 West 7th Street in Columbia. Since 1856, people you can rely on.
For your southern Middle Tennessee weather, we will have partly cloudy skies today with a high near 80 degrees. Winds will come out of the south-southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, we can expect clouds this evening with thunderstorms developing after midnight. Gusty winds and small hail are possible. The low will be 61 degrees with winds out of the south-southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. The chance of overnight rain, 80%. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll cover state and national news that affect you. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Debbie Matthews, realtor, and her husband Jason, who is a pro songwriter, also own a music publishing company. They live in historic downtown Columbia with their dogs. Dog rescue work is their passion project. They consider Middle Tennessee their backyard, and their lives are full of all things Tennessee. Debbie says there is no greater honor than to help someone find a home. To be trusted with that job, there is no greater privilege. Call Debbie at the Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224, 615-476-3224.
Family first. My dad used to tell us that all the time. But family first wasn't just something he'd say to us. It was how he lived every day of his life. And it's how I try to live mine, too.
At Shelter Insurance, our agents are dedicated to helping provide personalized auto, home, and life protection that puts your family first.
For auto, home, life, or business insurance, see Shelter agent Tommy Hyde Jr. at 388-2009.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
When you bank local, you get local expertise. Hi, this is Felicia Brown with First Farmers. We've supported families, individuals, and businesses of Middle Tennessee for over a century. You are more than an account number. You are our community, and we're committed to helping you thrive. Switch to First Farmers, visit myfirstfarmers.com, or call 1-800-882-8378. Member FDIC.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
Your home is your biggest investment. Getting the most for it when it comes time to sell is important. At The Way Realty, we help you get more by providing all our clients with a full-service real estate company. At no extra cost to you, we help you prepare your house to look its best with home staging, landscaping, professional pictures, marketing on all the major websites, touch-up repairs, and home inspection repairs up to $700. Get more with The Way Realty by reaching out to us to see what we can do for you and to find out the market value of your home. Visit us today at thewayrealtytn.com. Call us at 931-580-4669 or stop by our showroom at 800 Hatcher Lane, Columbia, Tennessee.
Welcome Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM 101.7 and WKRM 103.7. This program is sponsored in part by George Vrilis and the great team at The Way Realty. I'm Tom Price. And now news from around the state. A bill that would ban TikTok in the United States if its parent company does not sell the massively popular social media app passed the U.S. House on Wednesday. President Joe Biden has also expressed his support for the measure. The bill now heads to the U.S. Senate, where it faces an uncertain future. Wednesday's vote came amid a lobbying campaign by TikTok that urged users to call their representatives and ask them to vote against the bill. At least some users were met with a full-screen message that they launched when they launched the app this week with the same message. Tennessee has 9 representatives in the U.S. House, including 8 Republicans and 1 Democrat. Here's how they voted on House Resolution 7521, dubbed the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary-Controlled Applications Act. The measure passed in a 352-65 vote, with 1 representative voting as present and 14 who did not vote. Representative Andy Ogles did not vote. It's not clear if the U.S. Senate, which is under Democratic control, will take up the bill. U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York has not confirmed if the measure will be considered and said he plans to talk with chairs of Senate committees. TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, is based in Beijing. While there is a general consensus among U.S. senators that it poses a security risk to the United States, concerns over targeting just one company and controversy over freedom of speech have become a sticking point. While Biden has expressed his support for the bill, former President Donald Trump has stood in opposition to it. Tennessee gas prices are continuing to trend higher in a move 6 cents more expensive on average over last week. The Tennessee gas price average is now $3.07, which is 22 cents more expensive than 1 month ago, but 8 cents less than 1 year ago. 37% of Tennessee gas prices have prices below $3. Tennessee is currently the 6th least expensive market in the nation. Let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll cover the final story of the day. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Turner and Osborne Tire Company, 1016 South Main Street in Columbia. Give them a call at 931-388-6822. They've been doing business since 1947 and in their current location since 1964. They provide the best tire and mechanical work at some of the best prices in Middle Tennessee. Hey, they're official Michelin and Goodyear dealers, and they've got all kinds of brands as well. Stop by and see Walker Vining and his professional staff, or check them out online at turnerandosborne.com. That's turnerandosborne.com.
Don't let pain keep you out of the game. Murray Regional Physical Therapy's experienced team of therapists can help you recover from surgery, injury, or illness by designing a plan that meets your unique needs. We utilize state-of-the-art equipment and proven techniques to help you get back to doing the things you love. Schedule a consultation at any of our convenient Southern Middle Tennessee locations by calling 931-380-4014. Murray Regional Health, where clinical excellence meets compassionate care.
Have you ever wondered if your insurance needs can be personalized? This is Hunter Carey. Our team specializes in planning your insurance needs to get you the best possible solution. State Farm is the largest home and auto insurer in the country. I love bringing that to my hometown. Born and raised in Columbia, I'm grateful for our close community ties. We offer help with home, auto, and life insurance for everyone in our community. Our office is located at 909 South Garden Street, across from the fire station. We're also online at huntercarey.com. That's Hunter, C-A-R-Y.com.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today, and now our final story. Calling all City of Columbia egg hunters, the annual Easter egg hunt returns to Woodland Park on Saturday, March 23rd from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. This event is free and open to children of all ages and features 2 exciting age divisions, novice and advanced. The date, again, is March 23rd from 9 to 10:30 a.m. at the Rotary Shelter at Woodland Park in Columbia. For more information, contact Miguel at 931-922-8381. That's all for this edition of Southern Middle Tennessee Today on Kennedy Broadcasting WKOM WKRM Radio. I'll be back tomorrow to update you with the latest news. I'm Tom Price. Thanks for listening. Be safe and have a great day.